We are reading in Talmud Sefirot, Volume 1, Part 3, on page Kuf Bet, that's page 22 in the Hebrew version, Item Bet, Item 2. You can ask questions at cab.tv. Selected questions related to the study topic can be asked during the lesson. Again, Talmud Sefirot, Volume 1, Part 3, page Kuf Bet, page 22 in the Hebrew version, Item Bet, Item 2. The tikkun, the correction of the masach to detain the or elyon, the upper light from clothing kli de malchut, stops between the world of Atzilut and the rest of the worlds. When the above hitpashtut, the above expansion, reached malchut de Atzilut, the upper ma'atzil, the upper emanator, saw that the tachtonim, the lower ones, do not have the strength to receive that or, should it expand further. Then, when the tenth kli of Atzilut was completed, one masach and pargud, Masach, screen, and curtain was made there, interrupting between Atzilut and the rest of the Olamot, worlds below it.
What does it mean that there is this Masach barrier between En Sof, Ak, Atzilut, and what is below Atzilut? The reforming light doesn't go there? A prayer doesn't rise, a mat doesn't come down. Reshimot rise and descend, neshamot can rise or descend, or can they? So what is this thing about the pagod, masach, barrier, parsa, petition? How does it disturb? In which kind of selective way, which particular bechina this mechitza, this petition is standing on, working on which qualities, frequencies, like in our case, when we're having all kinds of filters with respect to different parts, desires, qualities. This is something we need to clarify, because in spirituality there isn't just a mechitza, a petition, a wall, a curtain. There are forces which accumulate, which join up in a certain way that something particular won't be able to go through, either from the bestower to the receiver or from the receiver to the bestower. We know that His glory fills the whole world, meaning there's providence and governance which operates everywhere, and there are no distances as far as it concerned, meaning there are no changes in qualities, there are no limitations with respect to the Creator. But with respect, does it work with respect to the light or with respect to the Adam, to the low one, from below upward? What does it mean that the lights can go through from above downward through the parsa? How so? What, the light cannot appear? It appears everywhere. Rather, perhaps we're talking about qualities which can be above or below in some connection. The restrictions are always upon the low one, so that remains to be seen. I was just asking. I didn't say anything, actually.
Another question on the text here. In item Bet here, it says the upper matzil, the upper emanator. What is that?
I don't know what he means exactly. This is the Ari. The emanator is everything which is greater than me. A higher degree than myself is Ein Sof. It's the emanator. It's everything. If he emphasizes the upper emanator, then perhaps he means Ak or Malchut of Ein Sof. If we're talking about Atzilut, then usually the upper emanator is Arichanpin Gar, the Arichanpin, where the entire governance, providence, all the sources are there. Perhaps this is what he means. Just a creator is what created me. This is a higher degree because we don't perceive anything which is higher than that. We're talking with respect to the creature. We can't talk about anything abstract. only on form dressed in matter. This is why the Creator is called, come and see that inside my kelim I have the feeling, the attainment, an impression of the upper one, and that impression from the upper one, the way I'm impressed by him, it's not that he's this way. This is what is called the Creator for me. God forbid, we're not saying anything more than that. Only what we attain. So who the Creator is, it's the upper one which is attained in my kelim. So how come he's an upper one if he's attained in your kelim? Because attaining is in accordance to the equivalence of form. So you're like the upper one yourself. No, still, there's me and there's the upper one, which haven't received such qualities yet. I'm only clothing on them. Let's say my Galgal Tanaim clothes the Achap of the upper one. So I have an illumination and a little bit of attainment. I don't attain him, but from my kelim I can appreciate him, and that is called the upper one. But like what is written here, the upper emanator, I don't know what it means. We need to see according to the text.
In the corporeal world, or in our world, we make a work plan where if we want to achieve something, so we make a work plan on how to achieve that.
Yeah, but first you have the goal.
There's a goal and there's a work plan.
There's a goal, there's a present state. And how can we reach the goal? And then we calculate which is the safest, best, or fastest way. And then we choose our path, our way. Taking into consideration different cases.
So what is called a plan of work in order to reach the upper one? Meaning to come from the current state to come to an upper state. What's the work plan? How do we define that?
It's very simple. I need to know what the upper one is. Simply. As much as I understand, the upper one means to bestow more. If I will bestow more, then that will be my upper one, which I had ascended to. How can I come to such a degree of a greater bestow? Through the light that reforms. So do I or don't I have a desire to come to this? How do I attract the light that reforms? The group, adhesion, the clinging to the group, the efficiency that I get through them, the greatness and the importance of the goal that I get from them, and so on.
But it's a plan that we need to arrange anew at each moment.
No, it's the same plan. All you have to do is change data. It's the same plan from the beginning to end. From the unification inside a group, you reach a greater bestow upon yourself. You are more impressed, inspired from them, and then you attract a greater, you have a stronger man, and from the prayer of many, you receive the influence of the reforming light. It's always the same thing. The kelim change, but nothing other than that. It's the same approach, it's the same raising of man and the answering of man. You can read it in the Zohar. You will see that there is no difference. It's the will to receive, the quality of bestowal, breakage, broken kelim next to you. All those things are always there till the end of correction. It's always the same situation, the same scenario. Yes?
Maybe I didn't hear the answer probably, because it's still a plan. All the data are correct, but it's according to the opportunity, according to the state.
Did you learn mathematics?
Yes.
You have a formula, x squared plus y squared equals c squared or something like that. You can put instead of x, y, and b whatever you want. Same thing here. The formula, the equation is the same. Only you keep changing it, you keep putting into it your present data.
So that's a formula, that's not a plan. When I say a plan, I'm saying like I build a building. So at the beginning, I need to put the foundation. Afterwards, I need to put the blocks, and then I need to put the, you know, the layers, etc. There's a plan. I know when to invite that and when to bring that, etc.
No. You don't have it because you are incapable. Here, when you're talking, it's like you swallow inside your corporeal mind all the steps forward. You know them, you understand them, you know the order, the sequence, you know everything. Here there is no such thing. That is true. But the equation, it's the same thing over and over again. But when you're saying, when will I do this? When will I do that? When will I be in Ibu or Yanika? So you're told 9 months of pregnancy. How long is it according to your corporal plan? 5 years or more? You can't tell. It's up to you. But there are other reasons as well, perhaps?
During the workshop, you always tell us, enjoy only from the point of connection. And then a person who, before he opens his mouth, he has a scrutiny. Does he open his mouth from that in which he's in the point of connection, or is he just speaking for the sake of it? How, during the study, that will also be at the point of connection, that when I don't have that measurement device to check where I am, so how do I know what I'm opening my mouth based on? So what measurement device, what can you give us to listen to you or listen to the book during the lesson from the point of connection?
Only despair. Eventually, only despair brings a person to that point. Only despair. When I am despaired from all kind of actions I take, that I have nothing, and I have to change something, what will become of me, my life, with my exertion, everything. When a person thinks like this, then he comes to a decision that the goal can be attained only inside a group. The group is a spiritual structure. It's not the potsufim, the faces that you see here. It is such a spiritual force. You feel that force tangibly. It's not a UFO in the air. This is something big. If I will be in it, I stand a chance. And if I'm not included in it, then I don't stand a chance. That knowledge should be inside a person in such a clear way that a person doesn't disconnect himself from that. He knows that in order to sustain himself inside a group which he describes as an accumulation of spiritual forces, and if he's there, then definitely he will succeed, he will reach goodness. It's like an opportunity to breathe air, and without it, he has no access to the air pipe, to the airline. But that comes to him as a result of despair. And you can reach despair soon enough through... You can't come to it through talking. You have to think, mainly think. The main thing is the thought, not words, because in the words, hear what is being said, not just on the focus group. You're still saying what is written and not what you have inside of you. So you have to work on it, but that's your answer. Okay?
Since the format of the workshop and lesson are different, the format at the workshop is a format where you ask and someone opens his mouth to speak.
I'm not just asking. I also give you a few sentences. I don't want to do more than that. Otherwise, where will your part be? I'm giving you a few sentences and then a question which can continue the sentences I said exactly. It can be the opposite, or it can be in a way that relates to what was previously said to a certain degree. And I'm doing it deliberately. Perhaps I don't quite know how to express myself, but perhaps I was given such a problem language by Upper Providence for a reason.
At the end of it, there's a question where in that there is this general instruction not to answer from your mind, your intellect, but to come from that point of connection and then feel that answer, speak from
only
there.
Only that. The answer has to be the answer of a prayer, and the scrutinization has to be as the prayer itself, where we want to scrutinize and find together, and that together means that through such words, when each of the 10 friends is now saying something, then what everyone is saying has to complement each other. I nullify myself with respect to the others, and he and him do the same, so everyone nullifies himself. Everyone increases, intensifies, and respects the others. And by doing so, we build self-nullification and the quality of bestowal, which is higher than us, and a group which is no longer a group. Rather, it is a spiritual value, because we're nullifying the will to receive and the yearning to be included inside the other. That is a spiritual thing already. And the topic itself is that we want to scrutinize our unity, our love, our work, and it all becomes man. And inside the connection in the group which we have received in that man, there we have to receive mud. And that mud which we receive is called the center of the group. Then we feel warmth, mutual feeling, mutual force that sustains us to such a degree that I'm afraid to come out of there. I don't want to come out of there. I feel that there alone I want to be, and there alone I want to grow. This is the purpose of the workshop, and I mean for you to do so with every little package that I'm releasing your way every 10-15 minutes.
In the workshop format, there is this review point of whether I connect to the center of the group or not. This review point could be even before I speak, open my mouth. Am I bringing words out from my intellect, or am I finding the words from the center of the group?
You have to constantly examine yourself. The friends should constantly support you and even remind you. There has to be a fear from the beginning till the end of the workshop not to exit the connection.
Now, in the lesson, I also need to be at the center of the group.
Your whole life, not just during the lesson or the workshop.
Okay.
But there are different cases.
So let's say we're only speaking about the lesson now.
Only about the lesson.
Okay, during the lesson. During the lesson, I sit among the friends, some physically, some virtually, but I'm in among the friends of the world, Kli. I can just listen with my ear and my heart, and I can also try to aim it towards the center of the group, because I don't have that action of opening my mouth like at the workshop, where there I can check whether I'm speaking from the intellect or from the center of the group. Can you recommend me some kind of kli, some tool, device, where I can check properly whether I'm listening to the lesson properly, whether I'm listening to it just as an individual or whether I'm listening to it from the center of the group?
Only collective thought. If during the workshop you can discuss it and you shouldn't do that so much, but somehow, but during the lesson I sometimes evoke that issue, but you need to have a quiet support here. What does it mean, quiet? There has to be a blazing fire, but some field needs to be revealed which constantly awakens us, supports us, and keeps us in the air. And this is up to us. Is that it?
Let's say at a certain moment in the lesson, let's say in 1 minute.
You will forget everything.
Okay, nice. So let's say in 2 minutes from now or sometime during the lesson, can you recommend some formula or something or a measurement device where I can check myself?
With self-examination, if you exited such thought, you're already inside different problems. You have to pay electricity bill, have a problem with my plumbing, my brain is leaking, my pump is leaking. You're not there any longer, so how can you awaken yourself? You need an external awakening outside of yourself. Otherwise, nothing can help you, and that is called congregation, where you sign with a group that they will constantly worry for you that you won't exit. Pay them to care for you. That is what it means buy yourself a friend. As simple as that. This is a payment. You have to bring him something so that he will be interested to constantly awaken you. What can you bring him? If it's a friend, then you're equal. Then he too needs an awakening. So how can we awaken each other if we're all... Well, no, that's already an upper providence. Within my people do I dwell. If you agree between yourself that you really commit, obligate to awaken each other, then the Creator awakens you. He gives you the strength. Well, that at least someone in the society will have contact, will be conscious. That means within my people do I dwell. If you have such a connection, then it is called a seminar and is there. I have come and there is someone else, meaning that there is connection. Amikam, let's go back to Tess. You want to ask about this or about Tess?
The small item chaf, the small item 20, relating to the words when the above expansion reached Malchut de Atzilut. Meaning, after the or, after the light, had expanded in the first three b'chinot called Chokhmah Bina Zeranpin, and after it completed its hitpashtut, its expansion in Zeranpin, it came to expand in b'china dalet called Malchut. The or cannot expand in Malchut before it expands in the three former b'chinot, for they generate each other by way of cause and consequence. Item 30, Lamed, the small item 30 in Or Pnimi, relating to the words, do not have the strength to receive that Or, that light. Because the force of the restriction rides over B'china Dalet, the last B'china, B'china Dalet does not have the strength to receive light, Or. Small item 40, relating to the words, then when the 10th Kli of Atzilut was completed. That refers to Bechina Dalet, called Malchut. By that he tells us that we should note that the Kli of Malchut and the Masach in it are two separate matters. The Kli of Malchut is an or, a light, that became av, coarse, at the level of Bechina Dalet, which is affected by the Tzimtzum, and the Masach and the Pargud were erected in her later. The small item Nun, item 50.
Wait, let him.
What is light that was swallowed in Bechina Dalet?
Read again.
Again, item 40, relating to the words when the 10th Kli of Atzilut was completed. That refers to Bechina Dalet, called Malchut. By that he tells us that we should note that the Kli of Malchut and the Masach in it are two separate matters. The Kli of Malchut is a light, an ore, that became av, coarse, at the level of Bechina Dalet, which is affected by the Tzimtzum, and the Masach and the Pargod were erected in her later. What is ore, light, that got swallowed in Bechina Dalet?
Everything is the light operating on the will to receive, which was created existence from absence. Therefore, the will to receive becomes coarser by the light that operates on it. Like Shmarim, yeast in a dough. He gives us such examples on Tess. Therefore, the difference between all the Bechinot 1, 2, 3, and 4 is to the extent of the influence of the light on that point of existence from absence. Therefore, we always have the same root point, which is there in Shoresh Leshoret, root of root. And when it reaches a state where it is truly opposite from the light in its qualities, then it means that the light was formed in the Bechina Dalet. The light does it. These are the qualities of the light which are made coarser, opposite by themselves, by the point of existence from absence. Let me put it differently. There is a replica between the light and darkness, where darkness is the same light. This is why it is called orta, meaning night, the achoran, the posteriority of the light, of the or. Because what there is in the day, there's the same thing during the night. Only the only difference is that this rooted point turns the light into its opposite. Let's say you have this shape here and here. And here, let's say you have a magnifying glass. And it turns what you had here to there, and what you had here, it puts it up there. So here is the light, and here is darkness. And this glass, that is the point of existence from absence. Existence from absence. That's it. So you don't have anything in Malchut which you don't have in Keter, only in an opposite way. This oppositeness is called existence from absence. The Creator, He created a replica of Himself, meaning Himself, what He wants to present to the creature. That's it. That is called the creature. This is Adam v'Chava, Adam and Eve. This is what it tells you. It's like an imprint and a seal. You have many examples about it. Therefore, again, I'm saying, What there is inside our will to receive is only to invert that quality, to put this absence in instead of the existence. Therefore, when we want to reach the opposite, then there's the cancellation of the existence, our existence. And then once again, we become similar to the light. Therefore, the light constantly is being formulated in that point and reaches different shapes, different forms, which all come from Him, from the light. Only their opposite. So that we will reach from the oppositeness to its recognition. Let your neighbor ask.
So the inversion is only in Malchut, meaning that point of existence from absent. The inversion point, it's only in Malchut.
Yes, only in Malchut. Before Malchut, these are the qualities of the Creator. These are the holy Sefirot, meaning they're all in bestowal.
It seems to me that I understand what the upper Matzil is, the upper emanator, that it's the Shoresh, the root of Atzilut, where when Malchut comes, so it cannot, so he sees that it cannot continue below.
Perhaps. We'll see, perhaps. Usually we refer to the Rosh of the degrees, not just in degree. The upper emanator. Well, in that case, Rosh of Atzilut is usually it. I also think so, for the time being.
Item 50, Nun, the small item Nun, relating to the words one masach and pargod, one screen and curtain. Masach and pargod are one thing. It means that a detaining force was made there, which is a sort of a shielding partition above Malchut, so that the Or Elyon would not break into her. Item number 60, relating to the words interrupting between Atzilut and the rest of the worlds below it. It means that this Masach not only protects Malchut, as mentioned above, but also separates between the world of Atzilut and the rest of the worlds.
Again, we have to understand that it's not like it seems to us as partitions, barriers, irons, wood, or some kind of walls, or I don't know what. God forbid. Sometimes I hear such questions that this is how people depict things. This is a field of forces. Forces. One force, second force, third force, which operate on each other in a certain way. And it's like in a first fall, they don't let a person move forward. And also the matter just seems to us as matter, but this it is too a field force, a force field, which doesn't let us break through that force field. Meaning there are forces, there are conditions that accumulate and stabilize the passant in such a way that these qualities can go through and other qualities can go through it or change it or bring it up or down and so forth. And the closest thing for us is to describe it as an accumulation of different forces. Please continue.
Item 3, the words of the Ari above. By the power of the Haka'ah, of the Or Ein Sof in the Masach, the Or returned upward as Or Chozer, reflected light that clothes the Or Elyon, upper light. The entire place until the Kav of Or Ein Sof is regarded as the world of Atzilut. Item 3. Then, Or Ein Sof that expands up to there struck that Masach. By the power of the Haka'ar of the descent, it struck it and returned upward as Or Chozer to its place. Then, the world of Atzilut was completed in its Kelim, and Or Ein Sof clothed them once more as Atzmut. Thus, to the place where Or Ein Sof reaches by this manner, it is called the world of Atzilut, because it is the light itself, but after its Hitabut.
Meaning, like we're saying, that we have Keter, which bestows eight sefirot, eight qualities upon Malchut, the tenth sefira. And Malchut doesn't have Or Yashar from Keter and from the eight sefirot below it. All it has is Or Chozer, meaning Malchut in her will to receive, she needs to do the work of receiving all those qualities, not as the light in it, rather as her qualities which she wants to be included with. It's like the guest who doesn't want to receive the delicacies from the host. Rather, what he wants to receive is the love, the attitude put into these delicacies and to bestow it in return. Are you listening? Do you hear that? Well, whoever does, does. Okay?
What's the connection between the form of the snack?
Delicacies.
Delicacies and the form of relationships.
The connection is in the creature, in the guest. You should either react to this or that, or to use it in order to increase the other, and so on and so forth. The connection, well, it all depends on the guest. How does the guest know what comes to him from the host? According to his qualities. And then, when he hears and feels and sees a little bit, if he just receives from the host, then he has no reaction. Perhaps he has a natural reaction that he's being grateful to the host. Well, he's nice, he's good. See how he treats me. How do I enjoy from him? I'm prepared to be kind and loyal to him. Is this is a degree of kedusha or not? Why not? He cares for me. He gives me all the best. I want to bring him back. The same attitude. Let's say someone jumps on him and I come and protect him. It's a question for a workshop. Is it considered that the guest is being loyal to the host? That he clings to him? No, why not?
Because if he stops bestowing to him, so then he'll also stop being loyal to him.
That is true. This is one of the discernments. That is true. Meaning, in such a way, if he's loyal just as long as the host bestows upon him or the habit works in him, although the host stopped bestowing to him. So he's like a dog next to a human. How to rise from that degree to the degree of Adam, of human? Why are you nodding this way?
The host makes him get used to him being like that, and then he just keeps bestowing, gets used to bestowing.
And what does he do then?
As such, the person gets used to this relationship.
So he gets used to had a bad attitude from the host?
No, he gets used to bestowing.
Although he receives nothing from the host, where does it come from? Let Gilad.
Let a few more like him remind him that when the host leaves him, so.
But they just remind him.
So they support him. They tell him that the host is there even though he's not there, and therefore he can certainly do it.
I don't know. How can a dog become a human? What does the dog lack in order to reach the degree of the Creator? Adam, man, human, is the degree of the Creator. Well, will he receive such an addition from, through which exercises, or exercises in the reforming light, or through social, groupal activities all around? What can be done here? If he's just loyal to the good things, then he cleaves to the pleasure, and after the pleasure, he also cleaves to the giver of the pleasure, to the giver of the pleasure. But they're connected. But in our nature, when we receive time after time, habit becomes a second nature, And even if the host stops giving him, let's say the host have nothing to give, the dog will die out of hunger next to the host. But this is still not the level of Adam, although it is as if the dog is loyal to his owner all the way through. We know such cases about animals who are loyal to their owners in such a way. So why is it still the animate degree?
Maybe from the breaking, there's this integration of the forces of the Creator and the creation, and therefore, through that, he can come to the degree of the Creator.
Through the shattering, we have certainly beginnings which we develop. Without it, we would have remained without any hope, even without any understanding of where we are. Like animals, they don't feel any lessening in their degree. We wouldn't have felt that. But through the light which starts working in us, those sparks, then we begin to feel that we have something to add. We're talking about the 1%, the 99%. Well, 1 out of 1,000, these are people who are in a spiritual awakening. Israel is one part of 1,000 of humanity, a promille, I think. In percentages, it's not 1%, it's a promille. And from Israel, we have the same attitude towards those who are awakening. So this is how it is in incorporation. Let's continue. Let's think how to turn it into a workshop.
So we read item 3 above. Now we'll read item 70 below, relating to the words that expands up to there, struck that masach. The encounter of the Or Elyon with a masach is compared to two hard objects where one of them is trying to break the other's gvul, boundary. The other stands firmly against the first and prevents the first from trespassing. Such an encounter is called haka'ah, beating. However, when the two liquids encounter, they do not prevent each other from trespassing and mixing. Hence, there is no haka'ah between them, no beating. The same applies to two supple objects. Their haka'ah is not really felt because they let each other permeate the other's boundary and push their outer shell to some extent. However, with hard objects, one does not let the other move one from one's place even a little. Consequently, their encounter is perceived as haka'ah, beating. Since the tzimtzum, the restriction, was primarily done by the Ne'etzal, the emanated being, and not at all by the Matzil, the emanator, the Or En Sof, the light of En Sof, is not at all meticulous about that tzimtzum in Malchut. Instead, it stretches down to Malchut too. Moreover, it does it forcefully, because En Sof filled Bechina Dalet too before the tzimtzum. For that reason, it has no reason to change its way, and it always descends to the Kli of Malchut with its light. However, the Masach and Paragod erected in Malchut impede and detain the light. They do not let it expand within even a bit, which is why we find that the light of En Sof that expands up to there struck that Masach.
If you have questions, go ahead.
I don't understand what's called that the light of En Sof that expands up that it tried to enter wasn't allowed to enter. That it's as if there is this restriction before it, but the Letterman Sof disappears into the restriction.
Okay, so this is the question. If Bechina Daled performed a restriction, Tzimtzum, and then Masach, and then she receives in order to bestow, she decides to receive in order to bestow as much as she can, because this is the pure bestowal. No? It's not it?
I know we have this Tzimtzum, and after that a Masach. Here it's saying that the Oren Sof doesn't enter Malchut, but so it sounds like it's after the Tzimtzum, but before the Masach.
Where do you take the before and after from?
We learn it, that there is Oren Sof, and then the Tzimtzum, and then the Masach. So it sounds that after the Tzimtzum, it seems like the Oren Sof doesn't care about the Tzimtzum.
The light of Ein Sof ignores the Tzimtzum. That is true. The Tzimtzum doesn't affect him. There are no limitations on the light, only on the Kelim. Bchinat Daled cannot decide anything which will influence the emanator. She can only decide for herself. The guest can't shut the host's mouth, only his own mouth. So the host keeps imploring the guest. Yes.
So the Kli receives the light or not after the restriction, before the Masach?
You answer me. If we're talking only from the perspective of the Kli, only from the perspective of the Kli are we speaking. You can't do anything about your upper one. You always do things on yourself. The restrictions, discernments, everything that you do with yourself only. There's no one else to do it for, so now you tell me.
If I understand you properly, then it's like I receive the light, but I don't feel that I receive it?
That too is a question. The light goes nowhere. You don't want to feel it, so it means that the light departs. We're saying His glory fills up the whole world. The upper light is in absolute rest. Only you perform restrictions over your own feeling, of course. You're in an ocean of light. Only you perform the restriction or your upper one, and you too, as his branch, you are compelled to be under his restriction. For him, it is a choice, a free action, and for you, it is a necessitated action. You want to cancel the restriction, then go to the upper one, and then tell him, no, I also want to be in a free choice. I want to hold on to this restriction willingly.
If that's the case, and we speak about the Masach, and I receive 20%, and I don't receive 80%, that's called in feeling again, or that's already reality as if, objective reality?
No, he decides in the Rosh. He makes a calculation in the Rosh.
But again, that's reception in feeling, or it's really the light that enters?
No, in the Rosh you have the entire light of Ein Sof. In the Rosh, you have the entire light of Ein Sof. There are no limitations in the Rosh. This is why the Rosh is a circle. Therefore, between the Rosh of every Partsuf and all the Igulim, they are connected, because the Rosh is unlimited. Everything is in the thought. Everything is in potential. And the Rosh is capable of performing such calculations. He holds on to the restrictions. All the restrictions are from Ped Rosh downward inside the desire. Yes?
And the Guf, the Toch, the light enters there in 80% or in 100% or what?
As much as the Rosh decides on.
So in the Tzimtzum, there's always a light of 100% that enters there. 100% of light goes through the restriction to the Kli.
In Rosh of Golgotha, there's 100% light, and he decides to receive, let's say, 20% of light to receive, 80% not. So 20% are received as an inner light, and 80% in his knee are empty, which stay on the outside as a surrounding light, or makif. Okay? Yes, Mutlu.
We work very hard to attract the surrounding light.
I don't know if you're working that hard. It's like you're working on a bus company, let's say Eged, and you want to get your salary from their competition, Dan Company. But
that's how we feel anyway.
We perform many actions, we do many things, but we have the wrong intention, needless and not in the right direction, and that is the problem. It's good to do little, but with the right intention. You can do tiny actions, but all of a sudden, you have everything. You can work real hard and do everything and have nothing. So you have to be an expert. Experts, they receive more.
So let's put it this way, where we're all experts and we're attracting the surrounding light properly. So
the same light, which you draw in a special way, you call it external, internal, surrounding, Neran Chai comes to you, comes back from you, and so on and so forth. The light itself is in an absolute rest. All kinds of, you have different relations with. This is why you feel it in a certain way and call it a certain name.
So it changes with us. Because we're speaking about so many lights and so many kinds of light. So it's not like now I'm bringing cheese and now I'm bringing chocolate, but there's just one kind and it comes to...
Just imagine, it is said in the future to come, you will be given some gelatin in a glass, which will contain all flavors. So it is said that in the future, this is how we will eat instead of vegetables, tomatoes. Why should they do all those things for anyway? Because what we eat is artificial anyway. So they will make something disgusting for us instead, and that's it. So there is no change in the light. We don't know it, what it contains, but it contains everything you want because all your desires come from him because he comes first and you come next. Did you find something or do you have a question?
What is the value of the pleasure?
You are corrupted. You can't write books anymore. I started asking questions. Okay, go ahead and ask. If you ask questions, then you can't do books.
Why?
It's a different work.
So I should stop asking?
No, you can't stop anymore. It's not up to you. It'll go by.
What's the value of the pleasure if the relationship of the giver of the pleasure is more important?
The pleasure is measured according to the importance of the giver. There's nothing else in spirituality. The upper light the pleasure in the upper light is a spark and it has no other pleasure. Let's keep it between us, don't tell anyone. And the great infinite pleasure is from the recognition of the greatness of who brings me that spark. That's it. That's all. Are you listening? That's it. Because that spark created the point of the desire. And there is nothing other than them. A tiny spark and a tiny desire. All the rest comes from the recognition of the greatness, the internality, the personality, let's put it this way, of the giver. Who owns the spark? Who owns the pleasure? We say that in Malchut of En Sof, the light which is revealed is just nefesh, the nefesh. And it reaches Neran Chai. How come? From the recognition of the greatness of the emanator. From the recognition of the greatness of the emanator. This is how it goes. You understand? So everything comes from the greatness of the Creator, which you attain. And that greatness cannot be attained unless from two opposite things. When you are opposite from him, you are in darkness, in the quality of reception, and from there, from the opposite state, you attain the quality of bestowal, how great it is. And above reason, then you acknowledge it, and you understand and inspired by that. This is the entire Neran Chai. Therefore, there's this thing of the shattering and the depth of the fall, because without it, you will never come to know the greatness of the giver. And this is where you get your great pleasure, which you are about to receive in the future to come. And there is no pleasure in the light itself. Only in the recognition of the giver is there a pleasure. Therefore, our whole work is to uplift the importance and the greatness of the Creator. I shouldn't say more.
What happens in the feeling, when there is a gap between the relationship of the giver to the relationship of me that I bestow to the giver?
I don't understand the question.
There's a difference between the relationship that a person receives from the giver to the relationship of him being able to give back to him. What's the gap between those two relationships?
The creature has to fill in this gap with the light of Chasadim. He needs to understand.
I don't feel it.
I have no words to express it. The question is, to whom does he ascribe the system of the worlds, those filters between him and the greatness of the Creator? I have no words to describe it, but it'll come. Soon I will be able to talk about it. I can't do it now. I don't want to just say something. It will only confuse you. Ah, a guest.
Rav, вчера во время тест урока вы сказали, что все килим возникают от взаимосвязи. Позавчера во время семинара, несмотря на то, что у нас была довольно одноязычная группа, мы все говорили по-русски, то есть не было языка проблем никаких. И вместе с тем я чувствовал, что вся группа, мы не могли найти соединение. Мы желание было большое, все пытались, все хотели найти это соединение, но возникали какие-то конфликты. И так до конца семинара я лично не почувствовал вот этого соединения. Почему?
He says that yesterday during Talmudus Sefirot, you explained how the Kelim are created from the mutual connection between us. And 2 days ago during the workshop, we were in a workshop where we spoke the language. There was a big desire to connect. Everyone wanted to do it, and we wanted to find that unity, and we had these conflicts, and it was hard. He said, why? Why did we have these conflicts? Why couldn't we find that connection?
We can't find this unity because here we need to collect dimes, exertions. That I'm trying to attain it every moment in my life. It's not enough to come to a workshop once a week or that my teacher reminds me about it. It has to be a mutual responsibility of the friends, and this is something we're still missing. Now let's move on to the next part of the lesson.
And we'll sing a song together.
Lie, 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 lie מתאפס לא לממש את החיים מלא כבר הצעה נמאס להיות לבד אז בואו נתחבר ונשאיר כאיש אחד נפרדנו בבבל ירדנו למצרים יזענו לגלות שנמשך עד שנת 2000 עכשיו זהו הזמן עכשיו אנו יודעים שהעיקר חיבור בין חברים lai 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 צריך לעבוד רצון כדי פרוצץ את המחיצות נפרדנו בבבל ירד